Welcome to Rusak Gamers. Welcome to the Rusak Gamers podcast, episode 80. Tonight's recharge game is Dungeon World. Now, I started gaming with D&D 3.0, so I missed all the first edition fun. But thanks to the miracle of nostalgia, I can now get that first edition glow. Dungeon World developed out of the rules for Apocalypse World and was released under the Creative Commons license. The creators modified the Apocalypse World's rules to create a role-playing game with simple, modern rules with an old-school feel. You can get the PDF at DriveThruRPG, and a print version is due out soon. We will include links to both the PDF and the Dungeon World webpage in the show notes. Comments, critique, and general feedback can be left on our voicemail, 502-4141-RUE, that's 502-4141-766. Or send us email, roy@rusakgamers.com. Stop by our rpgcrosstalk.com forum. Just scroll down to the Rusak Gamer section. Listen to us on Stitcher. Just go to stitcher.com, download the program to your computer, phone, or tablet, and listen whichever way you prefer. Enjoy the show.
All right, we're recording.
Okay.
Good evening.
Hello, world.
Hello, world. Good morning, Vietnam.
Good morning, good evening, and good night.
Is that it? We're done?
That's it.
Thank you for joining us. We are tonight doing something different. Todd is on vacation. From us and everything else. And so he's not here, and we're continuing our... And Jason's not here, he had to work. We're continuing our exploration into other RPGs, getting some distance between us and Burning Empires for a little while. Last week we tried The Ring. What was it called?
The One Ring.
And Roy was nice enough to take us through that. And tonight was supposed to be Joe's night, so doing Marvel Heroic RPG.
You all volunteered me for that.
Well, that's what you get when you don't show up. So, but anyway, he begged off tonight. So we're gonna give Dungeon
Joe?
World.
Oh,
yeah, we're gonna give Joe a break and Dungeon World a shot. Dungeon World is a story based game based loosely on Vincent Baker's Apocalypse World, and it is, give me a second here, well, you can cut a lot of this out.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. I'm looking for the author.
So far, it's everything after.
Oh, there you go. Sage LaTorre and Adam Cable, maybe? K-O-E-B-E-L. Anyway, seems like a pretty simple system, and it is not turn-based, it's move-based. The way it works is you have a character and you have basic moves, and like one of the basic moves is hack and slash. Another basic move is defend. Now, you don't say, hey, I'm going to hack and slash. You say, I'm going to attack the guy with my sword, and then that brings up the hack and slash move, which essentially is, generally speaking, it's two dice, 2d6, to resolve things. You roll the dice. If you get a 10 or higher with the die roll plus your bonuses, bonuses and minuses combined, then you succeed and you get what you want. 7 to 9 is a succeed, but with a cost, a potential cost, and some of those are listed in each move. And then a 6 or less is a failure.
But you get XPs.
But you get experience points. They have, let's see, I'm going to hand out the character sheets. And everybody gets to pick one. And it's, the way it's set up when you play, it's just everybody gets to pick one of the classes. And there's one, there's the bard, cleric, there's two, there's a druid, a fighter.
The druid, a bonus? Character?
No.
Mm-mm.
There's eight.
Paladin.
It was a bonus character early on.
Ranger.
When I first started putting things together.
Thief. Wizard.
Barbarian?
So is that...
Acrobat?
No.
No.
Not
no.
yet. That's for the first supplement. So how many characters is that? Is that eight different classes? So we got four guys here tonight to pick, and we'll just go through. You do the character generation right out of the gate, and it gives you your choices. You just pick your choices to kind of put your character together and go with it. Anybody interested in a class?
I am interested.
That'd be Joe. Joe, what are you interested in?
I want to be the snobby wizard.
There you go. Joe's got the snobby wizard. All right, now we have left fighter, thief, ranger, paladin. I think paladin, right?
Yeah, there's paladin.
Cleric and druid.
And bard.
Can't forget the bard.
Oh, you want to try the bard?
No, the bard seems to be something you need when you get...
They even have a special move for the bard, you know, where you do the bardic lore and everything.
Of course they have a special move.
What about the special
move?
Damn,
Let me see this.
Now I want to see someone play the bard.
You want to do
the
thief?
Yeah.
All right. You want to play?
No, I don't want
to play. I want to see someone else do it. All right, go ahead. Anybody else?
I'll take the bard. I like a challenge.
All right. Well, there you go.
So can you do it like Lando Calrissian?
We've still got all the fighter types, and then we've got a druid and the bard and the cleric. So we really don't have any warrior types.
I'll take the fighter.
Oh, okay. All right, so you all do not have a cleric. All right. The
not at this level.
There are, I mentioned earlier, basic moves. There are a few basic moves. You've got hack and slash, which is basically attacking with a sword. You've got the volley, which is using a ranged weapon. You've got defy danger, which is when you're putting yourself in some kind of peril with the action you want to take. And depending on what the peril is, that determines what ability score gets tested. You can defend. You can spout lore. You can discern realities, which basically you can walk in and just ask a question about what happened. Parlay, which covers intimidation and diplomacy, and then you can aid or interfere. There are some other special moves. We'll get to those later.
Don't worry about it.
Those are like camping and last breath if you're dying, which could happen.
Encumbrance.
The way the game works, you get one set of hit points, and the damage tends to remain low. It's a low scoring type of game.
Can you hand out some pencils from around? Thank you.
Yes, please.
Who needs pencil? Pencil. It is a... You got a pencil?
I have a pen.
It is a... Ooh. Yeah, you'll need a pencil. Get a pencil. All right. It's a low-scoring kind of game. It's kind of like soccer.
Send me the bucket.
I don't know about that. I have a D10 damage.
Well, as far as, like, hit points and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, big creatures, it's... Like a dragon, for example, has only 14 hit points, and they have a high armor. So armor cuts away from your toughness, or is like a toughness and it soaks up damage. One of the other interesting things is bonds, which is sort of like beliefs in Burning Wheel, but you establish bonds with other characters at the table, and when you do that, if that comes into play in the game, you get rewarded with experience for that. Anytime you fail, you get rewarded, you get experience for that, failure being the 6 or less. And then there's other things that when you resolve the story, which is one of the special moves, you go through and at the end of session and you figure out, you get experience for answering yes to certain questions. Like, did we learn something new? Did we overcome a notable monster or enemy? Did we loot memorable treasure? That kind of thing. So if you find like a Vorpal weapon, hey, that's an experience point for everybody. All right, so let's go through the questions, sort of one by one with everybody, and you get basically the elite array, I think, to do your character scores. It's 16, 15, 14, and it goes on down.
13, 12, 9, 8.
13, 12, 9, 8 is just straight down. Okay.
16, 15, 13, 12, 9, 8.
Yep.
11
and
10.
Nope.
Okay, so no
11
and 10.
I'm looking at him.
All right,
no 14 either.
So... Arrange. You all have an idea where, you know, what you're playing and where those scores should probably go.
Page 48 in the Dungeon World PDF.
I should point out the PDF is available if anybody wants to try this game. It was in a Kickstarter that was successfully completed. And now you can find the book. I think it's $10 now at DriveThruRPG.
Is it DriveThru? I'll link that in the show notes.
And the actual hard copies, I think they're trying to get them out by the end of the year, but if not by January. So hopefully...
He's got the proofs back.
Right. So, he actually sent it out. Yeah. If you want to look at it, there's... I think if you go to Kickstarter, he may even have a picture of it, but I know an email went out.
Yeah.
So, anyway, very very exciting stuff. So, as we're doing our characters, you want to, set your scores, pick your names and stuff. But the way this game develops, it's very world building-ish. Like, let's talk about where you want to go, what you want to do, what you want to see happen, based upon the character and the choices you make. And once you get to a point where we're getting ready to do the bonds and stuff, we'll talk about that. Maybe we'll play a little bit tonight, but the second session is where you actually develop the background for the world and everything. So we'll probably have to do at least one other game, because as a GM, I want to... They have... What the GM has, what the GM builds is fronts, as in, like, a battle on two fronts.
Mm-hmm.
And so... One front, you have dangers and grim portents and things just to help you keep your notes together. And it's all very planned out. It's very structured. It is a very structured game, but it's also very loose and past the stickish. Okay, so where are we right now? Has everybody got their... Everybody doing scores?
Okay.
Does it tell you how many hit points you have? Hit points... are based upon your constitution, or based upon
six
your class.
Plus your constitution.
Six plus your constitution bonus.
At least that for the thief.
Right.
Six.
Okay. Yeah, it should be on your sheet. All right. So, let's see. Oh, and if you play your alignment, I think that's you get rewarded for experience for doing that. So that's something else to pay attention to. Let me know when everybody gets to alignment.
Okay, stats. 16, 15, 13, 12, 9, and 8. 16.
Basically, the bonuses are at 16 plus 2. 16 and 17 is plus 2. 18 is plus 3, but nobody has an 18. And then it just goes down from there. When you advance in levels, you don't get more hit points. You basically just get advanced moves. And it's meant to take you to level 10, essentially. I mean, there are rules once you get to a level 10, but of course we're not going to do that tonight.
But. What do we say, hit points, constitution?
It's over by the heart.
Yeah, it'll say, right to the right on the character sheet they provide, it says your max hit point is 8 plus constitution. And that, when they say plus constitution, that's the... Oh, and all right, at the top...
Mine says 4 minus constitution.
No, that's a plus.
It's a plus. It's a plus.
Oh.
Yeah, it looks like a minus the way it's done, but it's actually a plus. Actually, for you, it is a minus.
Mm.
In the top, above the stats, it says assign scores to your stats. It's on the sheet.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah. I mean, they put pretty much everything on here you need. I mean, it's a good game for people who've never played before. Because, I mean, they tell you pretty much what you need to know. It's almost... It's a lot like the Savage Worlds training wheel sheet. I mean, mm-hmm. in the depth of what they tell you.
Your hit points is your constitution, not... Plus, you add your constitution, not your modifier.
Right.
You actually add your whole constitution to that?
Yeah.
The modifier? Okay. I thought it was a modifier.
What? It's 6 plus your constitution score.
For you, it's 4 for me.
Yeah. From the rule book... Your maximum hit points is equal to your class's base hit point plus constitution score. You start with maximum hit points. Base 4 plus 9 gives me a whopping 13 hit points. That was the example.
Okay.
That was a wizard, too.
I only brought 6 out of dice.
That's okay. We got plenty.
Well, we can share. I brought other stuff.
I got all kinds of dice. Yeah.
Right. I mean,
I had told her by the email.
Roy, what's the name of your character?
And it's fun because one of the things I say is, like, if you're running the game, you don't roll dice. Everybody else rolls the dice.
I'm going to just choose a little one up here. I'm going to go with Jack.
Jack is often the butt of my jokes.
Why not?
We're supposed to introduce ourselves before we choose our bonus.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're supposed to do
alignment. Go through.
I'm at alignment.
Have you picked everything else?
Yep.
You've done it. You've gone through the character sheet and done everything else? Mm-hmm. All right. Well, just wait on that stuff then. Let's
wait. Well, he hasn't got his gear yet.
I did.
You did your gear already?
Yes.
And your advanced moves?
The hell have you been doing?
You don't get an advanced move.
You're only first level. Oh, you don't get those until second level.
Oh, okay.
Haven't you read this thing?
No, I haven't read this thing.
See, that's what it takes. Doug has just basically created his character in about 3 minutes.
Done.
Fine.
And the only thing holding him up is Roy.
I'm at alignment. You said tell you when you were in alignment. I'm at alignment.
What alignment are you picking?
Chaotic.
All right, because you're the thief. All right, cool.
Oh, wait, no. I want to be evil.
You can be evil.
I want to be evil.
That's fine, be evil.
Shift danger or blame from yourself to someone else. I didn't do it. He did it.
That's all right. That'll be fun. Roy.
On my sheet, good, neutral, and chaotic are the only choices.
Well, I have chaotic, neutral, and evil.
Cool.
All right, so we got Roy, Joe. Choose the look. Choose your stats.
Got my look, got my stats.
Did you choose your starting moves?
No.
If you have choices.
So why do you have to pick one of their names?
You don't have to. I just like Jack.
It's
a simplicity thing, really.
Yeah, it's for quickly starting the game. You know, when you go, I don't want to call my character. I mean, I could spend a week coming up with a character name. Just come up with a character. Boom. Let's play. I'm going to kill you anyway.
I don't guess I pick any starting moves. They're all there.
Yeah, it's the front side of your character sheet lists them.
Yeah. It's not pick these, it's... Yeah, the rest of them are choose from these moves.
So okay. Some classes, like the fighter, have choices to make.
Mm-hmm. That's why I'm not done yet.
Okay, so you're just working on your starting moves. So you do not have a cleric.
I can heal.
Are you a...
bard.
Oh, okay. Doug, bard.
When you weave a performance into a basic spell, choose an ally and an effect. 1, heal 1d8. 2, 1d4 forward to damage. 3, their mind is shaken clear and of 1 enhancement.
Cool. And Joe, you're playing the wizard.
I am.
What race are you, Roy?
Human.
Not halfling?
No.
You stink. All right, Joe, what race?
Human.
Ooh, if I miscast the spell, the target...
Yeah, if you roll a... Is this a 7 to 9 or a 6?
On a 7 or 9, your spell still works, but you draw unwanted attention, or your magic reverberates to other targets, affecting them as well. GM's choice.
Nice. Mm. Doug, bard, what race?
Human.
Really? You guys are lame. What kind of fighter we got over here?
Dwarven fighter.
Dwarf! So, Roy, what's your character's name?
Jack.
Just Jack. Joe.
My character's name is Morgan.
Morgan. Doug.
Tone deaf. What up?
Really?
Yes.
That's his name? That's one of the names listed on there?
Yeah, it's right there. I wrote it in.
No, pick one of the listed names. Come on. Let's do it as written this time, all right? I know it doesn't make any difference. Just pick a nice name.
Charlotte.
Charlotte, really?
They're all girls' names. Well, it's Wilhelm. Cassandra, there we go. I'll be a chick.
Cassandra.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, I'm Cassandra.
And the dwarf?
Surtur.
Surtur?
Mm-hmm.
Like King of the Fire Giants?
Yeah.
I guess. It's on the
big
list.
Big flaming sword.
Okay.
Axe.
In the comic, it's a sword.
In the module, it's a sword.
Surtur the Fire
But
Giant.
This dwarf has an axe.
Well, yeah, but he's a wannabe. He's going to want a big sword.
Nope. Okay. Axe with just a serrated edge and hooks and spikes.
Yeah.
Is everybody ready, other than Bonds?
James Bond?
No, I'm still picking spells.
Spells, oh.
You only get 3.
Bonds. Pick bonds.
Yeah, they're all 3. You only get 3 first level spells, right?
And I get a cleric spell.
You get a cleric spell?
Because he's a human.
Ooh. So 3 humans and a dwarf?
Yep.
Walk into a bar. Two humans and a dwarf walk into a bar.
Bartender, hey, shorty.
I don't think the dwarf would walk into the bar. Go right over his head.
Yeah.
Really? Short what? Jokes?
He's a dwarf.
He ain't got nobody.
I'm drinking, they're paying. Got a problem with that? Brandish axe.
And my axe! By the way, Skyfall, good movie.
Yes. Awesome movie.
Yep. Lived up to the hype.
Yep.
Although I thought the bit when they got to Skyfall was kind of unnecessary.
Well, I enjoyed that part. I thought that part saved the movie for me. By the way, Dungeons & Dragons 3, Book of Vile Darkness, bad.
Huh. I thought it was pretty awesome. Lee Dad.
Really?
It's
when she bitch slapped the guy with the mage hand, that was pretty cool.
That was actually funny. But still, the moral of the story of the movie is be as evil as you want to be. And as evil as you can be. Because in the end, it doesn't matter.
Right. You'll still get the girl.
No, you won't get the girl, but your God will give you power as opposed to giving the power to all the people who actually hold the tenets of the faith.
Fair enough. You ready, Joe?
Well, I picked three. I got to pick a cleric. Do you have that cleric list?
Yeah.
Does it list them for you?
It says choose one cleric spell. It doesn't even give me any level cleric spell, I guess?
No.
Well, you have to pick a spell.
You have to be able to cast
your
it.
Level or less.
Wow.
Yeah, you'll be able to cast it.
This is not the spell list.
It's not?
I need page 2.
Oh, sorry.
And no?
So you can pick. There's not that many. First level spells. Right there.
Heal one.
Cure light, yeah, like the best
Hill
one.
Thief.
Actually.
Kill thief?
Hill.
Hill thief?
Dingleberry.
Cure light wounds. There you go.
Yeah, pretty much it.
With this party, that makes a whole lot of sense.
Yep. I don't know, wait. Oh, I could cast them as if it was a wizard spell.
Okay. Right. Good. Okay, cool. All right, let's introduce our characters. You guys introduce your characters. We'll start here with Jack on my right. We're going counterclockwise. Start with Jack. Jack.
I'm Jack the Thief. I have shifty eyes. I wear a hoodie. Wear the common clothes to hide my flabby body.
You have a flabby body, really?
A flabby body, why not?
Why not? Morgan.
Nobody suspects the fat thief.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Like fighting close too with his dagger.
I'm Morgan the Wizard. I have crazy eyes, wild hair, very stylish robes, and a thin body. And
I'll eat his share.
That's all I know so far.
Okay. Let's come over here to
Cassandra.
I'm Cassandra. I have fiery eyes and wild hair.
It's the first voice I've ever you heard him use.
He's role-playing. Shh, shh. Come on, he'll...
Don't ruin it!
Shh. You'll spook him.
I'm wearing finery, and I have a fit body, which is kind of nice. And I have a big, pointy rapier on my side.
Thank you, Cassandra. Sartor, what do we got?
A dwarf, hard eyes, battered helm, armor, scarred muscular body, vicious, ancient looking axe at his side.
Cool. All right. Let's talk about bonds then. We'll start over here because Cassandra had a bond.
Yeah.
And she wanted to throw an old Jack there. Now, you can pick. You can have all your bonds apply to one person. You don't have to pick all of them. And the bonds are suggestions just sort of get you started. But if you resolve a bond, if it comes into play and you sort of resolve it, work it through in the game, you get experience points for it. So it behooves you to have a bond and work it. Like working a belief. But once you resolve it, you form a new bond from the game, from what occurred during the game and continue on. Again, it's very much like a believer.
Cassandra?
Let's start with Cassandra. You still want to go after old Jack? And
yes.
Okay, so what's the bond?
Jack is the butt of my jokes. And Jack does not trust me, and for good reason. That no good broke my heart.
I want to jump on this.
Well, okay, well, hang on. Okay, we'll come back to Jack. Go ahead.
No, I want to jump on Jack.
Jack.
Oh, okay. Nice. All right. Well, hang on a second. Well, Jack, how do you feel about that with Cassandra?
What, there? Nothing but skin and bones over there?
Skin and bones.
Fit body.
It's skin and bones.
Okay, so she's skin and bones. And what happened? What led to the
I stole something from Cassandra.
What'd My you, heart.
Is that one of your
Yeah.
What'd you steal from her? You don't have to tell us right now, but
I don't know
her
this.
Heart, and then you broke it.
I don't like that.
We can resolve that in play.
A piece of jewelry, okay, something from her family.
Well, that's all right. We can resolve that during play. We don't need to figure that out right now. That's okay. Okay.
Jack owes me
Sir Tur. What do you
his
got?
Life, whether he admits it or not.
How did that happen?
It didn't. I don't owe him nothing.
Jack disagrees, of course. Why do you believe that?
Sir Tur.
I killed the blink hound that was chasing him from his last job.
Killed the blink hound. Okay, do you remember the blink hound, Jack?
No. Every time I turned around, there wasn't anything behind us.
Okay, all right. So you never saw the blink dog?
No.
Because it kept blinking whenever you turned around.
No, I never saw any stupid dog.
You got something you want to throw in there?
What was Bill's
Morgan
name?
Sir Tur. Sur Tur, right? Mm-hmm. Sir Tur.
Sur
Tur. Tur.
Sir Tur will play an important role in the events to come. I have foreseen it.
I have a response for that.
There's a really cool advanced move. I think it might be the fighter. It's like eyes. I've foreseen the future, foreseen death or whatever, and he rolls. And if he's right, he can determine who lives and who dies in like a combat. Not a player character.
Through death's eyes.
And if he gets a 7 and 9, it's one or the other. This is an advanced move, so it's not going to happen. But if he gets a 6, it's him. He sees his own death. So he takes a minus going forward in the combat. That's pretty cool. Okay. So Sir Tur will play an important role. How so?
I had a vision. I have foreseen a great dwarven warrior.
The great dwarven warrior.
But he's wearing a helm. I'm not really sure what it looks like.
A battered helm.
A battered helm.
Okay. So, Jack, let's see, I do Cassandra, Cass is over here, Morgan. So, Jack.
Yes.
What do you got? What kind of bond do you want
to? Well, I stole something from Cassandra. We stole something from Cassandra. We already
did you just say Skitsandra?
No.
What's his pet name?
Cassie.
Okay, Cassie. From Cassie.
Even though he lies about it all the time.
She.
No, I'm not talking about you anymore.
Oh, it's not all about you, Cassie.
Yes,
even though he lies about how many times he's done it, Sir Tur does have my back when things go wrong.
The front part about you added.
Okay, so. Yes. All right, so I'm kind of detecting here that you guys are sort of ne'er-do-well scrappers and you're, you know, sort of a. Fafford Mouser kind of thing. Is that work?
That worked. Yeah, it actually worked pretty well. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Where you're getting into trouble a lot. He's sort of
getting you out of trouble a lot.
Sure.
All right. And how does Cassie come into the picture here? What was the last job you all did together? And what's the next job you plan to do?
You working on another bond? Did we steal something? I think we stole something. I think I stole something.
I think you stole
something. I stole something. I stole something from the Mage Tower.
Okay. What'd you steal?
A dinner bell.
A Vorpal key.
A rodent of unusual
size. Cuts
size.
Through all doors.
Snickersnack.
Okay, so what did you...
I stole a bracelet, but I don't know what it does.
Okay, all right. A bracelet.
But it's... Man, it's shiny. Look at this thing. Bling, man. Bling.
So you got a magical bracelet, but you don't know what it does.
No idea what it does. There's nothing written on it. It's gold with silver tracing around the outside.
Okay. It could be runes.
No, it could be runes, but it doesn't look like any language I've seen, and no one seems to recognize it as a language.
Surtur doesn't know what it is?
No, Surtur doesn't know what it is.
And
no, none of it. Even Morgan doesn't know what it is.
Well, wait a minute. Well, that brings me to this. How does Morgan feel about the bracelet?
I got it.
Is Morgan
I've
there?
Got another. I got a bond here, and it's Jax. Is keeping an important secret from me.
Ooh.
Morgan doesn't know about the bracelet.
Morgan doesn't know about the bracelet.
But upon the hasty retreat from the Mage Tower, I caught a glimpse of Surtur, and he matched the description of my visions of a great dwarven hero.
Oh, so when you...
I followed them and joined their merry duo in hopes of...
Finding out more things.
Right, finding out what the secret
okay.
of...
Elucidating your vision. Okay, so
yeah.
So you heard the description. They caught a glimpse of one of the thieves.
No. I've had the vision.
Okay.
He caught a dwarven hero.
He caught it. Right.
And upon their retreat, by happenstance, not that I knew that they stole anything.
Oh, so you don't...
I just saw them in the stables.
Oh, you saw them...
And I know this guy from my visions, so I go with them.
So
I don't know anything about the bracelet yet.
Okay, you haven't... Well, they stole it from the Arcane Tower, right? The Wizard's Tower?
Yeah.
Okay. What's your affiliation with the Wizard's Tower?
Those... I hate those guys.
You hate them? Really?
Yeah, I'm kind of a... They think I'm crazy.
They think I'm crazy.
They think he's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's perfect.
They think I'm maybe a little unstable at times.
See, I think it'd be better. I think it'd be better if you knew about the stolen bracelet.
I think he does know about the stolen bracelet.
You're trying to get it back.
He thinks,
and hold on. No. I mean, this could still work. Maybe they've eschewed you anyway. Maybe they don't like you. They want you gone too.
Who, are you mages or us?
But him. Him, the mages. The mages
want him gone.
Morgan
right. gone.
Because Morgan's a little crazy. Now, does that hurt Morgan's feelings that he's not accepted?
No, he's crazy.
He has his visions to keep him warm.
Yes. It's everybody else who's crazy.
All right. That's fine. If you won't let me tell you what it is.
Chris, I think both of our next bonds with him flow from his story pretty well.
Yeah. I think that's... Okay. Let me just ask, can I ask a question? What would you do if you learned of the secret of the bracelet? That he had stolen this bracelet from the Wizard's Tower? Maybe. How would that...
Maybe I'll try to buy my good standing back with the...
But you don't care about it. That's what I was asking.
Depending upon what
it
does.
Have you seen their library?
Yeah. Okay. All right.
The resources in the tower, man.
Okay. All right. So Wizard Tower, stolen bracelet. All right. So, Cassie... How does Cassie fit into all this?
Well, I have two more bonds.
Well, you don't have to use those bonds if you don't want to.
I like these two.
Okay, go ahead.
Morgan has trusted me with a secret.
Okay, do you want to tell us what the secret is right now, or?
Morgan has no Adam's apple.
I told you it wouldn't be a secret. I don't know. He's afraid of field mice.
Okay, Morgan. All right, Morgan.
As an irrational fear.
Is there a special reason why you... I mean, I know because you're human, but is there a reason why you can heal?
Because it says pick a cleric.
But it could be... Right, but it could be any reason. I mean, it could be... It says pick a cleric spell. Why heal? Why are you able to heal?
Because we have no
cleric. Mama was a healer.
It could be it's just a regular spell from being a wizard. It could be that it's a inherent ability that you have for some reason. It could be that I don't know what
you a faith healer.
Mama was a healer.
Yeah, my mother was a
which,
healer.
And that
no.
Were one of your parents a cleric? Or?
Maybe that's my secret.
That you can heal, but nobody knows?
Yes. Forbidden healing spell from the Clerics Guild was bestowed upon me. And that is highly frowned upon by the Mage Tower.
The Mage Tower would consider him tainted.
You're an abomination.
With clerical magic.
Because magic...
Because clerics pick sides and mages are all about the magic.
Yeah, wizards is more of a studious pursuit, whereas
it's great
clerics, clerics have to pick sides.
Okay, so if they found out, so you're not supposed to know how to heal people.
And they already think I'm crazy. Finding out that I have forbidden magic ability could only hinder my...
Forbidden magic ability.
Okay, alright.
Oh, yeah.
Where'd you get your axe? Bill? Oh, sorry.
Surtur.
Surtur. It's an ancient weapon. Where'd it come from?
My family.
At which?
Are you descended from some sort of royalty?
Of course. King Surtur.
Is that who you named that after?
He is King Surtur, the 12th.
You are King Surtur?
47.
Oh,
so, wait.
Wow.
Alright, so, Thorin...
Most of them died young.
So you're actually King Surtur the 47th?
Well, the kingdom's lost.
Well, do you want it back? Okay. So Surtur has the ancient weapon of kings inherited, passed down from father to son, father to son. What?
I just got a new bond.
All right, go ahead.
It poked me.
Okay.
Surtur and I have a con running.
Where you tell people he's a king?
We tell people he's a king!
So, is that how you all got into the wizard's cast?
Yes. The funny thing is, it's true, but I don't believe it.
Okay.
I kind of like that. I'm so stupid. I don't understand that.
Well, you're running a con off of me being a king.
Yes. And you're going along with it.
And you don't actually believe he's actually descended from anybody. But
no.
But he really is.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's funny. All right.
And I believe he is.
Well, I got a bond, so this is where I hook in. I'm writing a ballad about the adventures of Surtur. Because I think he's a king.
He's a great dwarven hero. I've seen it.
Okay, everybody done?
Yeah, that's all my...
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Bill. Surtur. Sorry.
My second bond I want to go with. I worry about the ability of Morgan to survive in the dungeon.
Oh, yeah, we all do.
As does Morgan.
I kind of like this.
Which dungeon... this is fun, isn't it? Which dungeon are we talking about?
The one that we end up going to? I think this is a general statement.
No.
General statement, yeah.
Yeah, but...
I worry about...
We're not going to a dungeon. You're in a dungeon.
Right.
Right now. All right? What dungeon is it? How'd we get there? What's going on? I mean, are we done with... Does anybody have any other bonds you want to throw out?
I'm done.
Okay. Or you could be going to there, but I don't want to put this sort of in the...
I'm kind of tempted to add, I have sworn to protect Cassandra, but I'm not sold on it yet.
Well, why are you sworn to protect her?
That's why I'm not sold on it.
Well, yet. I mean, because you got your buddy here, and I'm talking about Jack, who has done something to her.
Yeah.
He's wronged her in a way. He's wronged her in a way, maybe, that you feel obligated not only to protect him, but also to make right which you think he has done wrong, to correct his mistakes, or his...
I didn't take anything of what Matt do.
And the question is, why do you do all this stuff for this piece of garbage? I mean, if that doesn't make...
That one is easy for me to answer, because it ties into my personal beliefs and my alignment, because I seek to defeat worthy opponents. And he's constantly getting in trouble, and I find him.
Well, that's good. Yeah, it's like, yeah, that's...
I'm rescuing him all the time, because, oh, I haven't fought that yet, let's go.
Okay, all right. So what dungeon are we talking about? What dungeon are you worried about him surviving in?
This one?
Okay. Well, of course.
Now, obviously, this dungeon has the potential to contain information on the possible script on Jack's bracer.
Bracelet. It's not even a bracer.
It's not new.
Bangle.
It's a bangle. Sparkly.
Okay, did the bracelet leave you here? Did you get a map to go with it? I mean, were they together? How did you learn about the dungeon?
They followed Jack. Jack got up in the morning. It kind of feels like I should go over this way. And the bracelet kind of pulls him in a direction.
Ooh, the bracelet has an agenda.
And Morgan, not knowing that these two jokers stole the bracelet, thinks that the thieves will eventually show up here to decode the bracelet, and that's why he's here. He thinks these two are there to help him catch the thieves. He doesn't realize that he's with the thieves. Because surely whoever stole the bracelet will have to come to this dungeon to decipher the ruins.
So maybe instead of the bracelet pulling, or in addition to the bracelet pulling, Morgan said, "You look like fine, upstanding fellows.
Can I come with you?"
Maybe
I need some muscle to go over here so we can catch some thieves.
Yeah, maybe Morgan knows that the dungeon contains the answer to.
Yeah, that's what I just said.
Okay, but you're not following them. You brought them.
He came with us because I have a map. Jack has an air quotes map to this place.
Because I fit his vision.
Yes.
Yeah, so he's hiring you guys to go. He has hired you, ask you to come with him, to go to the dungeon to find out.
Yeah, on behalf of the
waiting for the criminals to show up to get the key to the riddle, because little they know, you know, because eventually they're going to decipher what's on the.
Yeah, they have to. Eventually
they're going to decipher what's on the bracelet. It's going to bring them here.
Right. And we can keep a loose affiliation with the Mage Tower. I may not like those guys, but I think I'm still a member of them so far.
Okay. Mage Tower.
I'm going to change my weapon.
And now that we haven't.
How does.
After we got back to the inn, Cassandra showed back up, and, you know, we always have to actively seek to ditch her when we want to go on an adventure without her.
Well, so you don't want her to come with you?
Oh, no, it's fine. She can come with us. But when we don't want her to come with us, she's always there. It's like, oh, we got to get away now.
Take a bad penny.
Well, what's Cassie's stake in all this?
I'm writing a book. I'm writing a ballad about King Sakur.
She is a bard.
Sartor. Don't get me out of here. Okay. All right, so.
I think they stole the bracelet before I met up with him. He's just always had it. I don't know what's stolen.
Oh, I was thinking it was more recent than that, but okay.
Maybe I'm new.
You could be new if you want. And you've joined them to be at this dungeon. What are you looking for?
He's looking over all my books.
No, I was actually hoping that a plug would jump out in my vision.
What's that looking
like? It's over here.
Yeah.
It's too far?
Is there one of those you want a quarter run on your lap?
I'm sorry, we can go around under and
over the river and
through the woods. Okay. How's that?
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, so you have entered where the dungeon is, where the dungeon begins. You're standing. I wish I would like to take that off the wall, that whiteboard.
The whiteboard.
I wasn't to write on.
Oh,
draw.
Pull out the little tabs behind you.
These. Okay.
Cool. And we got the pins here. Tactiles. They're useful for all sorts of things, even if they aren't real tactiles.
Yeah, let's spread these out. What I'm doing here is we're just playing.
Getting some tiles out
just for drawing. Oops, wrong side.
Oh, there you go.
Drawing out some maps to give the players an idea what's
going
on.
We don't need minis or anything with this.
No, you don't need minis.
Theater of the mind.
That's right, baby. It's just so everybody has the same thing in their head. All right. You've come down a cavern. It's dark, wet,
damp,
and the passageway suddenly ends.
That's what she said. She wishes.
Running off.
This is going to mess up my hair.
Into the darkness.
This one never do.
Is a rickety old bridge that disappears at the extent of your torches. Who's got a torch? We got a torch.
Anybody got a torch?
No, that's part of standard issue. Now we'll say you've got a light source. What do you
have? I have a light cantrip. Don't I get all cantrips?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so how does that work?
The end of my staff lights up.
Shrek!
It gives off no heat or sound and requires no fuel.
How far does it light?
Shrek.
And how long does it last?
The spell lasts as long as it is in my presence.
That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Shrek. Guided by the cool... What color light?
Green.
Green, yeah, I was thinking
a very light shade of green.
Guided by guided by the light,
ooh, the lime
green lime colored glow of Morgan's staff, you come to the edge of a large crevasse that extends out beyond the edges. And before you see a rickety, creaking bridge. That sort of, it's the ropes are kind of old and swollen from damp, and the wood, the boards even look a little swollen and
sketchy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What are y'all gonna do? Huh?
Why'd you stop?
Morgan, go ahead.
Yeah, Jack,
light the way.
Is that a bridge?
It's a bridge.
Yeah, it's a rickety rope kind of bridge with boards, swollen ropes, and extending off into the darkness.
You've seen the cartoon.
Light us across. Go ahead, Morgan. Right after you, Morgan. Right behind you, buddy.
I'm fumbling through my books.
I've got a spell in here somewhere for this.
Now, Jack,
I want to point out a couple of things. Look at the basic moves. Do y'all have the basic moves?
Yep. Well, okay, starting moves.
Well, you also have basic moves.
Yeah.
One of the basic moves, and I'll just point this out to you. You can discern realities is one of your basic moves. So if you want to...
It isn't as highfalutin as it sounds.
Yeah. No, here. I'll let you all look at it. I mean, you've got the books, though.
It just means...
Is there a...
Know whether the rope bridge is sturdy or not.
Yeah. Yeah. You can look for hidden truths. I mean, you can do all kinds of stuff, so...
Okay. Morgan would like to spout lore. I'd like to consult my accumulated knowledge...
So you pull... Okay. And here's the thing. We'll get away from that, though, Morgan. We want to get away from saying, I'm spouting lore. I want to pull my book out and find my notes on this place. Because you had already mentioned that you knew about it.
Yes. And I need to roll my intelligence. And actually...
Let me have a
copy. Actually, I chose this bag of books that gives me 5 uses.
Oh, okay. So
and if I use that, I get a plus...
Plus to your roll?
Plus one to my roll. Whatever it is my books are telling me.
On the mechanic side, what's your wisdom bonus?
It's a intelligence, I believe, and it's plus
two. It's intelligence or spout lore.
Oh, intelligence. Never mind. That's what I meant.
So, if I roll my intelligence and add 1 based on my book.
Okay, get 2d6.
Check me out. First roll of the day. First roll of the new game system.
Hell yeah! All
right, here we go.
Oh! Great.
That'd be 11, 12, 14.
14.
You only need a 10.
Morgan, to the rescue.
You crushed it.
You're going to make the rest of us look horrible. With that, starting with that roll.
You recall from your book. What's the situation? Or you recall from your notes, you see from your notes, that it mentions the crevasse. However, it doesn't tell you that you need to cross the crevasse. It mentions another way to get into the dungeon. That you don't have to use the rope bridge. It mentions the rope bridge, but more as a landmark as opposed to an actual...
I see. I believe the bridge was built by the people who hid the ruined piece here, and we don't have to use the bridge. Let's look around a bit more, and we might find another way across the crevasse.
So that would be. So you want to start looking?
I think we all should look around a bit more.
Okay, that would be. All right, so you start looking.
Right, with my light.
Around the walls and stuff. All right, roll. Anybody want to help him?
I'll lead him, sure.
Okay, roll a...
I don't have a bond with him, I can't.
Okay, do you have a...
You can only help people you have bonds with?
No, you can... No, can you, no. Help you get a bonus someone, with a bond. You get a bonus
you just don't
bond.
Get the bonus.
Go ahead and roll a 10. A D10. Or I'm sorry, D6. Roll
2D6.
7, 8...
Eight. Okay.
And one bond, right? I rolled a 7 plus one bond, 8.
Yeah. You got one bond with him?
Uh-huh.
Okay. As you're helping him, you can make your roll.
What about rolling?
So I give him a plus one. And
no, you don't. Do you get a plus one?
Well, it says on a 10 plus, they take plus one or minus two, your choice. On a 7 or 9, you also expose yourself to danger attribution.
Oh, you costs. Also expose yourself.
Right? He gets a plus, okay. But he...
Right.
So you get a plus
but
one.
But she's
and
exposed.
Over here on
what's
the edge.
The roll?
Go ahead and roll.
What is the roll?
2d6
plus your wisdom. And put plus one for his health.
Her health.
7.
7. Okay.
That's a success.
We have no wisdom.
Okay. On a 7 or 9, ask one question. All right, you can ask one question from the discern realities.
I thought I already made the discern. Oh, that was about lore, right?
Right, right.
Okay. What should I be on the lookout for?
That first step.
A secret passage. All right. Over here to the right, the door opens up. Okay, it starts to... I mean, you find the outline of a passage, and he's helping you with it.
She, sorry.
Cassandra, apologize.
You see my feminine form?
Yeah, and Cassandra's feminine form is pointing at it when the rocks give way beneath her.
Help me, I'm falling, Morgan.
Okay, I need you to make a defy danger roll.
Ooh.
Using your agility.
Dex?
Dex, yes.
4, 8, 10.
You catch yourself just before you fall. And she's dangling. Just by the... Y'all pull her up. You find a trap door, a secret door, right here. All right? And we'll say it opens. And you see a spiral staircase carved into the stone. Disappear into the darkness below.
It's covered in dwarf graffiti, isn't it?
Maybe.
Not yet.
This way it does. But it could be.
Okay, what do y'all do?
Captain Morgan goes first.
Morgan, light the way!
I'll go
actually,
first.
The secret doors. Okay, so you're going to lead the way down into the darkness?
May as well.
Okay.
Since I'm with a cowardly thief, who should be
There's no need to be redundant. Make it with,
you know, you would make a very good scout. You're awfully limber. Even though you're a little...
You see this?
Yeah, you're a little chubby.
All right.
Jack likes his ale.
He almost keeps up with me.
The passage drops down. It seems like a long time that you're traveling down into the depths. And it ends at a door.
Homie.
It ends at a stone face. Looks like a key slot right in the center of the door. It looks like it's dwarven make. With just a simple key slot in the middle.
Jack?
I'm going to spend a moment to survey a dangerous area. Trap expert.
So you're going to use... Okay, so you're going to use your ability to check the trap out?
Yeah. Spin your hold as you walk through the area to ask these questions.
You don't have a hold.
You have to earn a hold.
How do you earn a hold?
You roll.
Well, that's what this is, right?
What happens is... What you get is it. Some moves allow you to get a hold, or it says take a hold forward, or take three holds forward, or something, and then you can spend them later. For example, a druid shape changing. When they shape change, they get three holds
on a ten,
or higher. And as you use abilities from the creature, it burns a hold.
After
the third one, you revert back.
Well, then I'll do tricks of the trade. I'll whip out my lock picks.
Hello.
When you pick locks or pockets or disable traps, roll plus dex. On a 10 plus, you do it no problem. 7 or 9, you do it, but the GM will offer you two options between suspicion, danger, or a cost.
Do you want to? You can check it for traps first, can't you?
Apparently not.
Yeah, of course you can.
Trap expert means I got to spend a hold.
Let me see.
Right.
I don't have a hold yet.
When you spend a moment to survey an area, roll dex plus... On a 10, hold 3. You get 3 if you're successful.
And then you spend...
On a 7 to 9, 1.
That's what I asked.
Okay, spend your hold as you walk through the area to ask these questions. Okay. So you could ask all 3 questions with a 10 or higher, or you could ask one of these questions.
Okay.
Okay.
Well then, I'm going to... Trap expert, roll plus dex.
Yeah, whenever he starts walking like that, I always stop and wait and see what happens.
8. All right, so.
Hold one.
So that is a, let's see, on a, you hold one. So.
I get to ask one of those questions, right?
Yes.
Is there a trap here? And if so, what activates it? Very first one.
Yes.
There is a trap?
There is a trap. And it's activated by not opening the door correctly. Or not... If you do not pick this lock...
Correctly,
it will activate.
Sweet! I go pick the lock.
Did you ask what the trap was?
No, I can't. I only handle one. I thought it was more important to know that...
Okay, now, you have learned that there's a trap there.
The way these are written, you can only ask the first one, or the first and second, ask all three.
Right. Well, what I'm saying is...
Or you can't ask all three. You can't ask any of them.
You know it's trapped.
Right.
If anybody else wants to do something, you know, they can. You know, they can take...
Yes, but for all I know, the trap brings down bricks on the people behind me.
Could be. Mm-hmm. That could be what it is.
And I'm fine. I'm okay with that.
Okay.
Hey, Morgan. How you doing? There'll be a 7, 8, 9.
9. 9 on remove the trap.
The GM will offer me 2 options between suspicion, danger, or cost.
2 options.
So either suspicion and danger, suspicion and cost, danger or cost.
Yeah, which one do you want?
You're just going to tell me to pick one of those three?
You pick two of the three.
Or would you, aren't you?
The GM offers me 2 of those options.
Offers you 2. Oh, I pick 2.
Yeah, and then I pick one of those 2.
It would seem to me you'd also offer him a little bit more than just danger or cost. As in, okay, what kind of danger, what kind of cost?
True. fair enough.
Danger. No matter what it is, suspicion's no fun at this point. I mean, it's just
I don't think suspicion would fit in this one.
Yeah, I don't think it would either. Danger.
Like, you know, the guards come out and say, what are you doing there?
Maybe Morgan knew about the trap.
The door opens, but I didn't get that last tumbler quite right.
And your lock picks are jammed in it.
Oh!
So, the door swings open. You hear click, 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 but it pulls, it locks down hard on you.
Give me the axe.
And now you can't...
Give me the axe.
You can't lock the door.
Okay, that's fine.
And you can't get your...
Give me the axe. I want my picks back.
It's a stone wall. I mean, the door is stone.
Give me the axe.
You're not getting my axe.
Fine. The next time we find a locked door, you can open it with your axe.
Well, as long as you don't break another stone door, I won't have a problem.
I won't even get a chance. You'll be breaking stone door with your axe.
Okay. You've come out of the
hallway. Just letting you know.
And the wall... You come through the door.
Uh-huh.
And you are in a huge... it's not even too huge because I don't want so much space. But you're in a huge hall. A huge dwarven hall.
Told you it felt like home.
That actually... way up top.
About 10 feet?
Well, you can't really see out of it, but...
About 10 feet?
If you were to guess, you're sort of underneath the crevasse. Now, this isn't necessarily the base of the crevasse, but way up there somewhere, okay, is... the top, and you don't but this is a huge hall now, and if you hold your light up, you might even see like a crack in the ceiling, a large crack in the ceiling.
Wow.
But it looks like it's caved in, and so there's a bunch of rubble piled in the room where it caved in. Some columns here. And they extend on out. The rubble is from the hole in the ceiling that made probably the base of the crevasse where it fell in. What do y'all do?
Morgan, light the way into the hall. It's right behind you, buddy.
Stop touching me.
I'd like to cast Charm Person on Jax and send him into the hall first.
Yeah, there you go.
Because I'm tired of this crap.
Give me the light.
Okay, go ahead. How does one...
I don't know.
I haven't read the spell. What does it say?
It says, Charm Person. He'll regard me as a spell... touch him, it's ongoing, and he will count me as a friend until... he takes damage, or I prove otherwise. Ongoing.
He already counts you as a friend.
Then why is he sending me into danger every time?
Because you've got the light!
Stop touching me.
It works as long as it's in your presence.
Do you have to roll for the spell to go off?
Yeah.
What happens if you fail?
What happens if any fails? On a 10 plus, the spell successfully cast. You may cast it again later. On a 7 to 9, the spell is cast, but...
You lose choices.
I draw unwelcome attention and put myself on the spot. The GM will tell me how. The spell disturbs the fabric of reality as it is cast. Take -1 ongoing to cast the spell. Or after I cast it, it's forgotten. And then I can't use the spell again until I prepare a new spell. So you know what? I'll just go ahead. I'll just go.
Well, hang on a second. Do either of you, would you like to go forward into the cavern?
Yeah, you know what, Jax? No.
Oh, Jack, he's clearly not prepared for this. Come on, let's go. All right.
I don't have a light.
He's not staying here. There's plenty of light.
Look, if you're that scared, fine. Stand right behind me so at least I've got a light.
All right. Jeez.
I head into the cavern.
Okay.
We go into the cavern. I have no light. I want
to okay, so you all walk into the hall. It's a dwarven hall now. You walk in
no,
there.
No, the roof caved in. It's just a cavern now. Dwarven halls are much grander than this.
And I'm probing Suture along the way. Does this look familiar to you?
Suture.
Does this look familiar to you? Do you
never been here.
Recognize the dwarven structure as part
well,
of
it's clearly
your,
dwarven,
your
but
heritage.
I've never been here.
I see. I'm scribbling in my book.
Keep the light up.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so...
The king enters his new domain.
Okay, so what? Okay. If nobody has anything else they want to try or do, or that's fine.
Well, somebody throw a move. Somebody throw out a move.
Hmm? We walked into the room.
That you did.
You're no longer in front of me, so I can't backstab you.
Okay. As you walk into the room. As the light enters the room and you guys are standing there talking, you hear off in the darkness.
If that doesn't come out well, it's scritchy, scratchy noises.
Skittering.
Skittering.
Skittering's a good word.
Skittering's an excellent word.
In the dark, now off in the darkness, you hear skittering.
It sounds onomatopoeic.
You don't think so? It's onomatopoeic.
Presumably. Yes, it is. I believe, yeah, I agree with you.
I believe skittering is onomatopoeic.
I would like to parlay.
I would like to discern realities.
Well, what do you mean? What do you mean you want to discern? What are you doing?
What is about to happen?
What should I be on the lookout for?
I want to find out what is making that skittering sound. I clearly hear skittering.
Okay. How are you going to do that?
I'm going to wave my light about.
So you're going to move forward a little bit, waving the light about?
Yes.
Trying to discern what it is?
Yes.
Roll your dice.
And then, is it 2d10 wisdom?
Yes.
2d10 wisdom.
No, 2d6.
2d6. Plus your wisdom modifier, and you don't get the books.
I'm not using the books.
I know, that's why you don't get them. Because you're just sort of walking in. What's everybody else doing? Anybody?
Well, my axe is ready.
Okay, so are you next to him? You're standing next to him?
I'll defend him.
I was, well,
from
not
what?
Threatened yet.
Well, I don't know, but I'll stand ready to defend him.
Well, that's good. That means I'll attack him.
Sure, that's fine.
Okay, go ahead.
The light. I want the light to go out. It's kind of making me nervous.
I'm actually in front of him because I just walked in the room when I said, let's go.
Eight.
And my question is...
You get one question?
Yeah.
And he gets a plus one forward when he acts on the answer.
Yes. Plus one forward. The question is, what should I be on the lookout here? What should I be on the lookout for?
What's about to happen?
I think they both qualify in this situation.
Yeah. I want to know what I need. I could probably, determine what's about to happen. Something's about to attack. But what?
Hang on. Give me 2 seconds here. I'm going to find something appropriate. I don't want to.
Something that skitters?
Something that skitters that's not going to kill you. Outright.
Rabid kittens.
That has more to do with... one thing I like about this game is that has more to do with how you make your choices to respond to what we do.
I know, and that, I don't want to make a choice that's so overpowering that...
A dragon!
In the first room, it's a...
A skittering dragon.
Bring the dragon.
Bad thing.
A skinny dragon.
I got an idea what I want, but I don't.
Dragon in high heels. A drag dragon.
It's a
dragon and drag.
Medium-sized spider on roller skates.
They don't skitter.
They do on roller skates.
No.
Sure they do.
No.
Sure they do.
No.
Roller skates don't skitter.
Yeah, roller skates don't skitter.
Now, if it was skatering.
Skatering?
Skatering spiders.
Maybe the rollerblades.
That does make me a bit nervous. Spiders and rollerblades.
Yeah.
Let's go with the giant spider. let's just cliche it up.
As you're
cliche it up.
Well, as you're walking through and this room and you're looking over something flashes. And then flashes and flashes a little bit. It looks like as you know, and then you bring around, you see flashes over here. So whatever it is, there's something out there, and it's making the noise.
So answer to what I'm supposed to be on the lookout for is flashes.
What you're on the lookout for, the thing that's making the noise, is associated with those flashes.
Wait, I got this.
Can we see those flashes?
Yes.
I take aim and shoot.
I have Bartic lore in a bestiary of unusual creatures. Or of creatures unusual, it says.
Okay.
So can I spout lore about what it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go for it.
Intel. 6. That's a good start. 11. Please go to 11.
Okay, so what do you get out of that?
What does he get out of that?
I don't know.
On a 10 plus, the GM will tell you something interesting and useful about the subject relevant to your situation.
Yeah. So I noticed the flashing, and you...
Oh, yeah, I know what that is. She goes, I know what that is.
I know what that is.
Yeah, she says... You realize that some of the... Cassie realizes that the cave-in looked like it was caused by some kind of infestation.
Okay. This is an infestation.
And you realize that down here it's drier than it was up above, and that fire beetles tend to gravitate lower into drier realms than up where it's damper and wet.
This is the perfect habitat for the fire beetle.
And about that time you hear...
And here they come now.
And they start coming.
Throw a dagger.
Okay, so let's go ahead and you can do your... as they start coming out of the darkness, do you get a bonus for that? Does anybody get like a bonus forward?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Do I keep my bonus forward for attacking these things?
Yes.
Doesn't say anything.
For this encounter, you'll keep your bonus forward.
Cool. Nice.
Actually, you didn't.
Do we have an initiative bardic lore?
You just spouted knowledge.
What is bardic? Bardic lore just basically gets it, doesn't he?
When you first encounter an important creature, location, or item, her call, covered by the bardic lore, you can ask the GM a question and he'll answer truthfully.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The GM may then ask you what tale, song, or legend you heard that information from.
Okay. Well, we still did. It was
spouted lore.
That's fine. That works. Okay. So
throw a dagger.
So you guys are moving forward into the room, and you start seeing them coming out of the darkness. We'll say right now you see 6.
Okay. Only have 3 of these.
Well, no. That's not how it works.
Actually, with the daggers, I think it does.
Really?
They don't have ammo. He has 3 daggers.
Yeah, three daggers.
As opposed to, like, arrows, it'll say 4.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean you have 4 arrows. It means that any time you get 7 to 9, you may have to reduce your 4 to 3.
Okay.
So
I get that's the way I read this, then.
What's it say?
You have to take several shots, reducing your ammo by 1. So I'm reading volley
right
here.
Right, but I think the daggers. I think that applies to him. You've got an assortment of daggers,
yeah.
And you basically have 3 failures before you run out of daggers. Okay. You're like you've got them kind of all over the place.
Right.
All right. If you pick up like a chair or you throw your shield, then you don't have your shield anymore. You can't pick reduce ammo by one. Hey, okay. I've still got my shield, but or
throw a dagger.
Right. Six.
Seven or nine.
Eight.
We're gonna see this in action.
Yeah. I still got my damage, which is 1d8.
Okay.
I get my choice of the following. I have to move to get a better shot, placing myself in danger.
No.
You have to take what you can get, minus 1d6 damage.
So it's 1d6 damage minus 1d6
damage? 1d8 damage minus 1d6.
Okay.
You have to take several shots, reduce your ammo by one.
So you're not putting yourself in danger.
I'm not going to put myself in danger.
You're going to reduce your damage.
I've been GM'd by Jeff a little too often.
Reduce your ammo.
I'm going to reduce my ammo. Yeah, I'm going to reduce my ammo.
Okay.
So there you go. My damage.
Eight. You throw your dagger.
Uh-huh.
At the first one that comes out, you're like, ah! And you throw your whip it off, it hits it, and the thing explodes.
Ooh!
But when it blows up, it consumes your dagger.
Yeah, okay.
It consumes that ammo. You're like, gone. All right. Anybody else?
I'll go. Magic missile.
The darkness.
What's plus one?
Ooh. Okay.
Eight.
Total?
Yep. It's fine.
Well, seven. Do you add anything else to that?
Well, I added... No. I have...
Seven.
Six.
You rolled a six.
Or seven. And then I added plus my one
forward.
Ongoing.
Right.
Eight. On a seven and nine, the spell... Oh, I choose one. I draw unwelcome attention to put myself in a spot.
Did you add your intelligence?
Intelligence. Add your intelligence.
Oh.
Seven, eight, ten.
Ten.
So nothing bad happens.
So it goes off.
Yes. Awesome. I mean, can I see 2d4?
Yeah.
Here, I got it right here.
You got it now?
I think that's what it is. Magic missile, 2d4 damage on one target. You don't add any modifiers to that, do you?
That's not unless. And how is the 2d4 written?
It says, projectiles of pure magic spring from my fingers, deal 2d4 damage to one target.
Okay, because sometimes it'll say B, brackets, 2d4, and what that means is the best of two different dice. But if it doesn't say that, then you just roll the dice.
Okay.
As normal. Some powerful monsters will say that. Instead of saying like 2d12 or something, they'll say like b12, b2d12.
The plus one isn't applicable here at all.
I don't,
for damage.
I don't think.
I wouldn't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think it's just for the success or failures.
Five.
Are there any special properties to the... Does it have piercing or anything like that?
Projectiles of pure magic.
Projectiles of pure magic. Okay.
And it's level 1 evocation. I don't know if that makes sense.
Okay. You hit him, but when it hits, it's got a thick carapace on it, and it apparently absorbs. So you did how much damage? 5?
Yes.
Okay. It wounds it, but it's still coming.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll shoot it. I'll shoot the one he hurt with my bow.
Okay, you got your bow out. And you...
Two. Not a good start. Six.
Oh, that's a... that's a. Oh, no, it's not.
Eight.
Eight, okay. So what do you want to do?
I'll reduce the ammo by one.
Okay, so...
My damage is only D6.
Okay, so which one are you shooting?
The one he hit.
Okay, go ahead.
Six more.
It blows up too, but it consumes the arrow when it does. All right. So there's four more coming.
I'm waiting for them to close.
Okay. So,
I can restrain myself. They're just beetles.
Oh boy.
We'll see. You're going to wait for them to close. Boy. We'll see. The way this works is, I think, is if you let them come in at you. I don't know that it's if you ignore the danger.
I'm not so much ignoring the danger as I'm protecting my friends.
Okay, so you're defending them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. So who are you defending?
It depends on who gets threatened.
We'll say there are.
You can redirect an attack from the thing that you defend to yourself. You can have the attacks affect your damage. You can open up the attacker to an ally, giving the ally plus one forward. You can deal damage to the attacker equal to your level. That's defend.
So one comes at each of you. Okay? And if you want to defend somebody else, you can defend them, but that's going to open yourself up. And if you open up, they just get to that. You take damage. And then you get to...
But I haven't even rolled anything yet.
That's not how it works. It's sort of like... It's if you're attacking, if you roll a 6 and you're in melee, if you get a 6, you attack, they get to damage you.
Well, that's one
of the options. They don't make rolls.
I know they don't make rolls.
Okay.
That's one of the options.
But to say, I'm going to stand here and wait for them to come at me, they don't make rolls. They just come in and hit you. So you either attack or you take another action.
They don't necessarily hit me. They can...
They can bite you.
One charges down on you, you're putting me in danger.
They would bite you, right. They get a shot at you.
They don't have to get a shot at me.
You can defy danger.
Okay, two of them picked you as a target and they come at you. What do you do?
Right, well, and you're just saying...
But you haven't said that.
Well, I said they're coming at you and you said I'm defending.
There's four choices for defense.
What I understood you to say was they're closing on you.
Right, they're closing on you and... Okay, they are coming in. There's one on each of you.
Okay.
Okay. What do you want to do?
Well, I'm going to smack down the one in front of me.
Okay, go ahead and make your turn.
Okay.
Okay.
I wasn't getting the picture you were trying to paint.
Well, they're coming into attack. Go ahead.
Need miniatures.
God. 8.
Okay. So, you are doing...
Hack and slash.
You deal damage, but they get to make an attack on you in return. Okay? Go ahead and deal your damage, and then we'll roll their damage on you, which may or may not go through your armor. And you swing your sword, but you expose... Axe. And you expose yourself as one comes up and tries to bite your ankle.
6.
Kills it.
Yay!
But another one senses an opening and bites you. Roll a d6.
I'm sorry?
Roll a d6.
D6. I subtract my armor from that?
Yes. Your armor will soak it first, so let's get through your armor. Nah. So no damage. All right, so it bites into the greave. Get off! All right. So, over here, we got two left. We'll say the one that bit you was the one going after Cassie. So you two... They come. They're coming at you.
I'm going to defy the danger for getting out of the way.
You've already taken a move.
But it doesn't matter. There's no turns. No. There's no turns.
Anytime you want to act, you can say what you do. Like, I want to jump in front of the one attacking Morgan to protect him because I worry about his ability to survive.
Okay, so you want to defend Morgan now. Okay.
I'm going to have to ignore the one that turned on me, so I guess I would defy damage.
Defy danger to go over and defend.
Go ahead.
Okay, so you're trying to get past him.
I'm ducking. He's running at me. I'm kind of like doing a cartwheel over to the side.
Okay. Okay. And in the process, go ahead. Go ahead. What you
get? 7, 8, 9.
9.
So I stumble, hesitate, or flinch. The GM will offer a worse outcome, hard bargain, or ugly choice.
Okay. You can get out of the way. But in doing so, you sort of stumble. They're coming at you, but you think to yourself, you're going to fall prone. Okay? But if you fall prone behind him, behind Morgan, then they will go after Morgan instead. You can use Morgan as a shield. To protect yourself.
No, I'll accept I'll fall prone and accept the attacks coming at me.
Okay.
Somebody's always got my back, right, Surtur?
All right. You're going to roll a d6. They will.
Me?
Yeah, you fall and they try to bite you.
5. Minus 1 from my armor.
So you take 4 points of damage.
As it sinks its mandibles into your foot.
All right, Surtur. You wanted to go?
Mm-hmm. Hold on, let me go first. Because I can help you.
Do what you're going to do.
Okay. I'll use my arcane art. I will play a tune on my flute.
And try Since to give, none of them are attacking you now.
That's right. And try to give Suter a plus 1d4 to damage.
Okay, go ahead. Dropping your bow.
Yeah. Draw my flute. 5, 6, 7. So let's see. On a 7 or 9, your spell still works, but you draw unwanted attention, or your magic reverberates to the other targets, affecting them as well. GM's choice.
You start singing.
Playing the flute.
You start playing the flute. And whatever it is, it's sort of a pitch they respond to. All right, so he gets plus 1, but the ones that are coming at him, they release him, and they look at you.
Okay.
And they start skittering toward you, and you hear, coming over the rubble, it's like you're drawing them, your flute. There's
Pied
something,
Piper.
Yeah, you're the Pied Piper of the fire beetle, as they start coming over the top.
Okay.
So that I can, before I say what I want to do now, I make sure I understand. He tried to get away from one.
Yes.
Did it bite
He
you?
Tripped. Yeah.
I fell and down and got bitten.
Yeah, and it bit his lip.
Okay.
He took damage.
So, and there's one approaching, me and there's one at my, right in my face.
There are.
The one that was supposed to be on her.
Well, there are two next to you. Or there were two next to you. Okay. How many are left? No, you killed the other. You killed it. There's one next to you.
Mm-hmm.
There's one that was biting him. And I'm sorry, I'm pointing at
Jack.
Jack. And there was one that was heading at Morgan. However.
Now all three of them are.
Now all three of them have stopped, and they're all gonna come, they're all three gonna attack.
So,
Cassie.
Since they're all focused on Cassandra, well, I want to get between them and Cassandra. I'll step in front of her and keep her from harm.
I guess they, and I'm just trying to clear something up for myself. I guess they can attack if they want. I mean, they just make their attack, and I can roll.
But no, you roll damage.
I roll damage. I just, yeah.
The way I understand it, you either threaten us with them, or you do damage to us.
Yeah, okay, all right. Yeah, and see, that's one of the things, because
if we ignore them, they're coming right at you. Well, I'm gonna pick my nails. Okay, they bite you. Roll damage.
Right. Okay, go ahead. So what do you want to do?
I want to get between her and them and keep her from harm.
Because they're coming in.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you're going to defend against the three that are now coming in. All right. I don't think you have to defy danger necessarily because
they turn towards her.
Right, and there's nothing between, you're not getting around one or anything because the other one is there. So yeah, I think it's just a straight up defend.
Okay.
I think you're just moving to put yourself between Cassie and the three that are coming at you. Now that the other ones are coming from a different direction, but they're not here yet. You just hear them coming.
We'll deal with them in a second.
you hear them coming.
Nine
total.
Total. It's plus con.
Oh, it's defend. I'm sorry. I was thinking it was just a straight up attack. All right. So if you defy danger, defy danger. If you're defending, you hold one. What do you want to what do you want to do? You get one of those. So long as you're staying in defense, when they come in, you want to redirect their attack at you or have the effect of the have the damage on her. You want to open up for somebody so that it basically aid?
Redirect to me.
Okay.
Now, definitely.
All right. They come charging in.
I work my way between them and her and shield brandished and axe swinging and say, oh no, this is where you're going.
Okay. Now the way this works is, we roll 3d6. Okay? We take the highest of three, and then we add one for each. Add one, I think, for each
one.
Is
that right?
Yeah. Yeah. You add one.
I thought it was just...
If you
roll the highest damage, which in this case are all the same, and then add one for each creature.
That's what I'm saying. Sorry, maybe I wasn't clear.
Add 3d6, take the biggest number, and add 3
to it? Right, 3d6, and add...
Their damage is 3d6?
Add 2 to it.
No, their damage is 1d6.
Well, but there's 3 of them.
3d6, take the highest one.
What I thought was 1d6. I could be wrong. I don't...
Here, I'll go to...
I've only...
Where was that in the book?
It's under damage.
I really haven't internalized this yet, so...
No, that's okay. It's under... I've got a bookmarked here. Damage. Page 23, 24. Damage for multiple creatures is page 24. If multiple creatures attack at once, roll the highest damage among them and add... Roll the highest damage among them. Oh, okay. What that means is... And add one for each monster beyond the first, so it's only plus two.
Oh, okay.
See, that means if you've got, like, an ogre who does D10, mm-hmm. and then two guys, you roll the highest damage. All right, so you're right. So you roll one die, and then add two to it. Okay. Eight. All right, but your armor still plays. Mm-hmm. Your armor still comes into play.
Like cutting your own switch, isn't it?
Yep. Mm-hmm. So I take 5 damage after armor.
Okay, so let me go to, let me get back to where I was. Fire beetles. Okay, so you've taken the damage. What do y'all want to do?
I'm going to defend Cassandra.
I'll heal the big guy.
Okay,
they're all attacking me now, though, right? So,
well, if he stops playing...
I mean, they're all on me right now.
I mean, you've attracted attention, so they're coming. But once you stop playing, they may go to other people now. Okay, but you've brought the attention of other ones toward you anyway. So go ahead, if you want to heal him, and then we'll get to your defend, and then we'll see if anybody...
I mean, we still have more to kill, right?
Well, there's three
right there, and they're basically attacking the dwarf. And you can hear more coming from Cassie playing her flute. The lilting tones have apparently attracted them for some reason.
Oh, you poor man. Let me help you. 9, and this is charisma 10. So you get 1d8.
Are you playing the flute to do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you get 5 points back.
Okay. How many times can you do that? You can do that until you fail. I think you can do it until basically you fail, and maybe is that a skill? That's not a spell.
It's a move.
It's not a spell.
Yeah, so you can do that.
As many times we need.
He has several.
Well, that's awesome.
Cassandra has several choices of what she can sing.
How long does the 1d4 forward on damage last? Until you make a damage attack, or what? I mean, how long does the effect last?
For the encounter.
Is it for the entire encounter?
I think it's
what does it say?
Plus 1d4 forward to damage.
It's only good once, but I think it's the next time I roll damage.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah,
I think it depends. Some say
ongoing goes for the entire.
Yeah, sometimes it'll say mm-hmm. One
good once for the remainder of the encounter.
Yeah, well, we can play encounter for right now. That's fine, and then we can check it.
Are they no longer going after her? They're now going after the dwarf.
As long as he's playing the flute, they're still coming after him.
Her.
And then there's the ones in the darkness that are definitely coming at him.
Okay, well,
He's playing the flute, you can hear her.
Yeah.
It's still coming.
I'm going to defend Cassandra.
Oh! Has anybody else failed? Like, outright failed?
I don't think anyone's
failed. No, that's
failed
an outright failure.
Yeah.
First one. Great, snakes.
Take an XP.
Great!
So what happens if you fail? You're going to defend?
Yes.
Okay, so you jump up and you run over there. You want to defend.
I think most failures are all the same. It's up to you.
So long as you stand defense, choose an option.
I fall in the middle of all three of them.
Well, no, that's...
Well, now they've got more than one target to go after. I'm definitely a target now.
Yeah, but what happens is when you fail,
yeah.
that triggers a GM move.
Oh.
Well,
What he doesn't tell you is that everything he's doing is GM moves.
Right. And for example, one of the GM moves is deal damage. I think that's the easiest thing to do right now. I think without getting too weird. Let's see. I can...
But now that begs the question, are you going to do damage to him or are you going to do damage to her?
Well, we can... He can also... and I'm just looking over the moves here. You got a threat coming. I know what I want to do.
Okay.
As you're stumbling to get to her,
mm-hmm.
you trip, and the bracelet comes off your wrist. And rolls off into the darkness.
Oh, I gotta go after him. I gotta go after the bracelet.
That's precious.
That is beautiful.
You gotta go after the bracelet now.
Do you wanna see that or my try to notice that gone. Or? I
could discern reality on that.
You make that call if I notice it or not. I mean, I'd kind of preoccupy with fire beetles.
Well, that's also...
I don't know if it's...
It's also, do you want to notice
it? Yeah, do you want to notice it?
Yeah. Jax has been kind of a punk, so...
Well, I don't even know if that... It doesn't really...
It doesn't quite
fit. It doesn't fit discern reality.
No? Okay.
It's not... Let me see if there's any other... we'll just say, if you want to know it, you see a bracelet come off his wrist, you know, in the darkness and the fighting. Mm-hmm. You don't know what bracelet it is.
Right.
But you know what bracelet it is. And it sort of goes, ping, 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 ping. And it rolls off into the darkness, into the hallway. Into the hall. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of do getting up.
And, yeah,
sure. All right. Joe. Sorry. Morgan.
Yes.
Morgan, what do you want? What do you want to do? You got anything you got?
Hang on. Okay.
Bless you.
I will...
See what happens when you take a character with all those spells?
Can I cast an illusion on myself? No one asked you.
what do you want to do?
This spell says touch an ally. But can I cast that on me?
What's it do?
What do you want to do?
It's invisibility.
I don't see why you could make yourself invisible.
It's a first level spell? Invisibility?
Touch an ally. Nobody can see them. They're invisible. The spell persists until the target attacks, or you dismiss the effect. While the spell is ongoing, you can't cast a spell.
It says touch an ally. While the spell is ongoing, you can't...
Mm-hmm. Well, this is illusion ongoing.
What does it say? Read that last part again.
He can't cast spells while he maintains
while
the
spell. While the spell is ongoing, you can't cast a spell.
Yeah, that's fine. I think that's reasonable that you can cast on yourself. I mean, it doesn't say anywhere that you can't. So,
right.
And there may be a longer version of that in the book. But go ahead.
Okay.
No, it's pretty much the same in the book.
What happens if you fail? A fire beetle.
Well. No problem.
12.
Okay.
I make myself invisible and I go poke around looking for the bracelet.
So.
Okay.
The green glowing light follows Jack into the darkness.
Yeah.
The light all around me.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to have to follow that because.
He's got my back!
No, because he's clearly inept.
Okay.
Morgan can't
so
move himself.
So the light, he vanishes with the light still there. And it sort of
and
just...
And then I drop my staff.
Then the light goes out, right?
As long as
you're holding it.
It says in his presence.
No, presence.
Spell lasts as long as it is in my presence.
Oh, okay.
So you drop your staff? Is that...
I'm carrying too much responsibility.
I think if you drop it what, in your presence, I don't think you're dropping it
and walking away from it, right?
Yeah.
Well, not yet.
I mean, I think presence is kind of defined as within its radius. So, we'll say 30 feet. 20 to 30 feet, something like that, just because we're hand-waving a bunch of stuff here.
Okay.
Once you walk out of that radius, it goes out.
Okay. Well, then I'll...
And you'll have to leave your staff behind.
I'll carry with me. There'll be a weird floating invisible light floating around, but okay. maybe the fire beetles will not respond to the light.
Yeah, and the reason
well,
I
it's
make,
like having the light.
And the reason why I say that is, like, say you're working in your study, you put it on something, and you need to go walk around the room and pull books and stuff, but as long it lights that area.
Right. Okay, I will take it with me and be invisible and go after the bracelet.
I don't know what that...
Okay.
That stupid wizard is up to, but I walk off from Cassandra and chase after the light and Jack.
To extricate yourself from this fight without them biting you.
Sure.
You gotta defy the danger.
Sure.
Okay.
Awesome.
And I think that's probably by moving fast.
No. I'm just gonna bowl through them. Knocking
power through.
Out of the way.
Fair enough. You just rah! And then scatter them a little bit.
Yeah. G.I. Joe move.
Yeah, and tell her to quit playing that flute. Make it worse.
Oof.
Eight. Okay. Let's see. You stumble, hesitate, or flinch. I get to offer you a worse outcome, a hard bargain, or an ugly choice. You've pushed your way through. You've got one biting you, and you can either... And the only place to throw it is on Cassie. So no. it's gonna bite Cassie or it's going to bite you before you can get rid of it. I mean, if it bites Cassie, it hits the ground and skitters. So basically, you take damage or Cassie takes damage before you get out of here.
But either
from
way.
From one.
But either way, I get through them and catch up with Jack.
Yes.
As opposed to me before when I rolled snakes.
I'll take the bite.
Okay.
Well, yeah, you're a brand new man. Dwarf.
Ouch.
Wow.
Okay, 2 points. Okay, now because he's burst through... They're kind of skittering, more coming, the light's running, he's run away. If you want, you can just follow, because there's nothing preventing you, Cassie, from doing that.
Okay.
Okay, so you all run off in the darkness, trying to get the bracelet.
Oh, you're so brave.
I'm going to defy the danger of losing the bracelet by acting fast to get there.
And running off into the darkness?
I'm going to get to where I saw that thing go and as fast as I can. If it means running into the darkness... I will run into the darkness.
Okay.
Which means I'm trying to defy whatever danger it is I'm going towards to get the bracelet.
I think that's a stretch.
I think
we're really close to stopping here because it's almost 9:30. But we're going to stop here. But we'll do this.
Oh, my bracelet.
We'll resolve this.
Wouldn't it be more he's defying the danger of Morgan finding out what it was that flew off his wrist?
Well, I think Morgan knows. Well, Morgan doesn't know what. Morgan knows a bracelet went off his wrist, knows he's after it. But you're trying. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Instead.
To get the bracelet. That's what was in my head first.
All right. Well,
to beat Morgan to the punch.
Jeff, you've got to determine whether or not that means he gets to it and hides it from me. I mean, that's basically.
That depends on his role.
Right.
I think it's both. I think those are both acting.
Oh, he can
fast.
Definitely get bit by a fire beetle if he fails.
Well, I don't. Oh, yeah. The fire beetles are coming. They're coming. But I think we've bitten enough people with fire beetles right now.
Yeah.
I think we can advance this part of the story here a little bit. So what happens? Fire beetles dealing damage feels to me kind of. Yeah, it's the dumb. It's the dumb man's way out. So I don't want to do that every time. But for the sake of speed, sometimes we'll do it. I think you're trying to be fast. So he's following with you. You're looking for it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to try and get it and snatch it up
right.
before
he gets there.
He gets a chance. Or before he gets to see it.
Right.
Okay, so you're kind of racing, being very kind of reckless. Go ahead. And I think we're going to use. I think this is going to be dexterity.
Definitely. Oh yes,
dexterity. Not necessarily quick thinking.
Both of us. Versus or
no?
Yeah!
Finally got a good roll. That's it's going to be a 13.
Okay, a 13.
Now this doesn't change the fact that he saw
something fly off your wrist.
A metal round thing.
No. It doesn't change it. Doesn't change it. You get to the bracelet.
Yes.
Before and you slip it back on.
Yes.
And you got and
tuck it under your sleeve.
And tuck it in. And as he joins, you know, as he's got the light and comes up behind you, you don't know.
Where does light come?
You're not even sure. I mean, you kind of see a glint.
Dude, he set the light for me.
You see a glint.
Morgan's cool.
Yeah, you see a glint. You reach down, you grab it, you realize right. It's the bracelet. Boom, you put it on. It just as sort of you get close enough to see what's going on
okay.
with his back to you. And the two of you come running up, sweating, bleeding, after being bitten.
Morgan
with the
back
skittering.
There.
And you
he's
can,
right there.
And you can hear the skittering coming behind you. As you guys are in the middle of the hall, it just sort of spreads out. And all you can see in the radius basically is column, with the...
end scene?
With the... and we're going to stop.
I can't believe you all left Morgan back there with those things. He sent the light for me, see?
You're
still invisible, aren't
you? I am.
Do you want to hang on to this for you?
Yeah, hang on to it.
Because I think...
Yes.
I mean, we can try this again when Jason and Todd get back.
Yeah,
I
want to.
Sure.
For sure.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, let me, y'all put your names on your characters?
No, I know who I am.
I had to put mine on.
Put our character names on our characters.
I know who I am. I'm Jack.
Oh, wait a minute. Whoa. Keep your characters for a second. Let's do experience.
Yeah, there's...
Oh, okay.
End of the session.
I got one experience.
Okay, that's...
Morgan.
Jack. Cassandra.
Cassie, baby.
Satur. Oh, and don't forget your spells. Okay, so, end of the session. Let me get my GM sheet here.
You can actually just leave these here. You don't need to take them with you. You can leave them with Jeff, because he might forget them.
I thought it was on here. Where's the end of session move? Is it on... Oh, it's on here. Oh, okay. It's on here.
Character change.
All right. At the end of the session, choose one of your bonds you feel was resolved completely. Explored no longer relevant or otherwise. I mean, explored completely. Doesn't mean you just acted on it. It means you've completely gone through that bond.
No.
Does anybody have a bond they think they've completely explored?
I don't.
No, not certain. Completely.
Okay.
Jax is keeping an important secret from me. I mean, I think...
Yeah.
Yo, we almost made it.
We're just trying to explore that, though.
Yeah,
Right. Okay. Once the bonds have been updated on your... Talk about your alignments. What... Did anybody act upon their alignment?
I did.
What'd you do?
My alignment's good. Perform your art to aid someone else.
Take an experience point.
Woo-hoo. I did it twice.
Evil!
What'd you...
You go first, Morgan!
What's your...
Shift danger or blame from myself to someone else.
I think it'd be better if you hid behind him with the fire beetle attacking him.
Oh,
yeah. If you let the beetle go over the top of you and use Morgan as a shield, that would have definitely done it.
I'll give you one now anyway. You're pushing him forward, but
you were trying. Definitely,
you were trying. Mm-hmm. But and what you did do is you actually said, "I'm not gonna do that. I'm gonna take it."
Yeah.
Which to me, I was like, well, then maybe you're not evil. Maybe next time you're neutral. Okay, so maybe we need to take a look at that sometime. Did we learn anything new or important about the world?
Hold on, I get it.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
My alignment was neutral. Discover something about a magical mystery.
What did we discover?
We haven't discovered anything.
We discovered the passageway down.
Yeah, the passageway.
Oh. Yeah.
And he was using his skills to do it.
Yes. Absolutely.
That's not rewarding. One. You got one experience point for that. Okay, did we learn anything important about the world?
Well, I didn't defeat a worthy opponent, that's for sure.
No.
These are not worthy opponents.
Did you loot memorable treasure? Oh, I'm sorry. Your alignment is, did you defeat a worthy opponent?
Yeah.
No. Nah.
Okay. Did you got your experience point for the failure. Six, the failure you had? Did you overcome a notable monster or enemy?
No.
Not really. Not so notable. Did you loot memorable treasure?
No.
Answer yes. Rich, everyone yes. Answers marks an XP. See, I think that's kind of neat. I mean, it's like going through and doing Artha. You know, who did this and boom. So you need, is it seven plus
your level?
All right. So you need 8 experience points to advance to second level.
Okay.
And then once you get 8 experience points, you wipe that clean, and then you need 9 to get to third level. And that's how you get experience. And it's a 7 plus your level. And once you get up to that, you wipe that out and you just keep advancing.
Okay.
Okay, so thoughts, ideas?
I think that you could totally play an extended version of this.
I don't know if you could play an extended. I mean,
what do you mean by extended?
There's no difference to me in this and Burning Wheel. None. As long as you've got content and imagination, you can continue this forward. You can have social intrigue. I mean, we're doing
I think this does those things a little less well than Burning Wheel, but I definitely think you can do them just like we could do them in first edition D&D.
Burning Wheel does the intrigue and the duel of wits much better, but this has kind of a blanket. No, I don't think
if we wanted to play a dungeon crawl, like you're saying, and have some intrigue involved, this is a system.
Right.
If we wanted to have some intrigue, that's Burning Wheel.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that I hope to, that we could do more is that instead of, you know, even if a fight starts, you know, trying other actions the fight.
I don't think I could parley with the Fire Beetles.
No, but you could discern realities. You could say, I'm going to say this is what's going on. You could spout lore. This is the great hall of such and such king. His throne is at that end. I think his throne is over there, you know, which would have a grand hall or something. So there gives you a way to go right there.
Yeah. I think with any game, like, you know, anytime you start a new system, you're thinking more about the rules and the mechanics than you are about the lore and the story.
Right.
I think once we're not thinking about the rules so much, this type of system would be easy to insert lots of lore and lots of NPCs.
Part of what we're supposed to be doing,
the way the game says, is we don't go, okay, well, I'm going to bend bars and lift gates. Okay. No. Okay, I try and pull the gate up. Well, that sounds like your Ben Bars maneuver. Let's do that.
Right. Yeah,
that's a bad example because it doesn't sound different. But you know, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, or you?
No, I get it.
Where you want to?
Right, where we were saying
you supply.
Logic. I want to defy danger, or I want to discern reality, or I want to do. No, we say we're supposed to be going conversationally. It's like. Well,
I want to run over here and stand in front of them.
Right.
Well, that sounds like defend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or I want to
run through the fire beetles.
I want to make sure I'm not going to trigger any nasty traps.
Yeah.
I'm looking around the room to see where the secret door is, or you know, all the things we did before.
Yeah, I see what that is. I see how that would make things.
Yeah,
you
got the kind of the backbone.
Mm-hmm.
It's what you hang on.
Yeah, and the thing I like about it is there's not everything's sort of open ended. They say, look, you cast the spell, it's up. You know, you don't have to worry about
rounds and
all the rounds and all that stuff. I was like, well, what do you want to do? And going back and forth. Of course, the other side is that, you know, it's easier as a GM, but it's also harder because you.
Yeah, one thing I think I know I would have trouble with, and I thought you did too, was what I got from reading it is the intent that you're supposed to be asking, putting something in our face and then go, what do you do? Whereas we've always been more inclined to say, what do you want to do?
Right, yeah.
Which is open-ended. There's nothing in your face. What do you want to do? I don't know. Okay, the Beatles are charging you. What do you do?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it's like, so, and that's...
Sorry.
And that's right. No, I gotta the and what they tell you is you start off, or what they recommend is do the character building, put them in a situation, sort of learn something about the characters, and then go and develop your fronts, which right. are basically what you use your notes to go back to.
Oh, you definitely got some.
Rich, yeah, there's some good stuff in here. Yeah, there's.
I mean, that was a nice thing about it, just being able to just jump right in and start doing some character development right off the bat. I mean, stuff that.
Yeah,
some background stuff that you can really, you know, sink your teeth into. I hadn't even used one of my bonds, so.
I didn't.
I haven't even used one of my bonds yet.
Yeah, so me too.
And it's neat because I think everybody got to do something in, you know, for their character. I mean, you got to be the badass fighter, Sir Tur, and Cassie got to cast the user flute, and she also spouted some lore and did that, and you did the same thing with, and you got to cast the spells, and the reason why they were able to fight is because you got the light and everything, and you were playing the nasty little rogue, and you have to pick a lock and stuff. And
broke some lock picks, man.
So I think there's a, that was, everybody got to, and not because I planned anything out, you all jumped in and filled the holes where you needed to. Yeah. So it worked out really well.
Yep. I like that kind of feels like, you know, when I was a kid playing D&D before miniatures and grids and attacks of opportunity.
That's one of the things I think they said.
A very cerebral type of combat. What is really like the way that
Moldavian? There's one of the writers of one of the editions.
Moldave.
Yeah. It's definitely a nod to that style. Yeah. They say so in their.
Yeah, and that's what they're going for. They're saying, you know, remember when you played it and it was cool and fun, and not that, you know, when we play stuff it's not cool and fun, but it's
definitely going for a specific thing. Right. And I think it does it very well.
Yeah, I think it does too.
Very cerebral. There's not a whole lot of, I mean, your skill checks is, you know, it's quick. You don't have to spend a lot of time thinking about how you're going to roll, like with the Burning Will stuff. And I think that's part of the fun of Burning Will, though, is coming up with how you make the roll. Mm-hmm. But I do like in this system that has been removed. You don't have to really think too much about your roll. You just roll and it.
And you're always rolling 2d6. It just, you get a few different modifiers along the way.
Yeah, and then the only thing that changes is damage.
Yeah.
Or the effect, you know, of what you're doing.
Right.
Which is pretty cool. Yeah. So, y'all want to keep playing this for at least a couple more games?
Yeah.
I'd
like to get Jason and Todd in and make sure.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Totally like to
see. Make sure they get to enjoy it, too. I mean, that'd be fun.
We have to find out what the bracelet does.
Like,
huh?
We have to find out
what the bracelet
does. Five more of those maneuver.
Basic
maneuver.
Yeah. They say just print a couple and you can share them. But, yeah, I'll do that. In fact, I'll probably print out some more and put them on.
Yeah, I was looking in the PDF of the main book, and I did. All I saw was the chapter on the basic maneuvers, which isn't as easy to follow as the printout. Yeah. Which is in the character sheets, which is the one thing I didn't print out. So I was like,
You know, one of the things I really like about this, because we were talking about, I was like, oh, you can't play, you know, this race with this class or that. You know, I kind of like the simplicity of it.
Yeah.
In that, you know, you could play this as a pickup game.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, what do y'all want to do? Well, I want to play some kind of dungeon thing, but let's just make it up and go. And, but I also, one of my biggest pet peeves is when, you know, you come up, you show up for your game, and you say, you know, I've been working on this guy, I've got this perfect fighter, and, you know, I've got these feats worked out, and, you know, and the player you're with looks and goes, oh, yeah, that's really cool, I'm gonna play your brother, and whips up the exact same character doing the cool stuff that you're doing. You're like, well, I'm not playing this guy anymore, not gonna do it. So everybody gets to fill their niche and do different
until
things.
Until you die,
and then...
then you can play anyone.
Then you play something else, yeah. So, but yeah, it's, I think that's neat. I like the fact that it says everybody plays a different character, everybody plays a different class, and you work forward. So, cool.
Good stuff.
Crazy. Yep.
Okay. Everyone say goodnight.
Good night.
Okay, so that's Dungeon World, at least the first game of Dungeon World. We intend to play again to get some of the guys who weren't able to be here tonight, give them a chance to play the game too. And frankly, we had a lot of fun. This is a really good game. Don't forget, send us your feedback. Our email address is roy@rusackgamers.com, and our voicemail is 502-4141-RU, that's 502-4141-766. Now, for legal reasons, I must remind you that you've been listening to an actual play podcast by the Rusack Gamers. This production is wholly owned by its creators and is distributed under the Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License. Dungeon World is copyright Sage LaTorre and Adam Cobell. And you can find them at dungeonworld.com.